You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
As we get ready to listen to John, listen about John chapter 9, it's about Jesus. I'm going to give you the answers to the test right now. Jesus heals a blind man, kind of in a weird way. Spits into some dirt, mixes it up, and makes this awesome lotion for your eyes and puts in this guy's. And then it doesn't even heal him. Then he's like, you need to go to a pool a little bit farther away and then wash it out. And then you'll be good. And that's what happens. But what I want to do is I want us to be a little bit introspective. Take a look inside of what's going on inside of us. Because if you watch the characters in the story, some people hang out with Jesus, listen to what he's saying, watch what he does, and receive him well. They got questions, but they receive him well. Some are confused and are kind of like, keeps them at like arm's length, and some flat out refuse. I just cannot take in what is happening and believe that you really are the Messiah, the Savior. And it's a matter of vision. It's a matter of, can they really see the truth of who Jesus is and what he's doing? Who he was sent from? Where did he come from? And I think there's places in all of our lives that we can see what God is doing well, and there's other areas of our life that we are blind. Like, not just a little bit colorblind, not a little bit, like it's a little blurry, like we are missing. And so, if you start to feel defensive, that's probably pride or fear creeping in, right? If you start to feel like, well, man, that's good. I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. That's a dangerous place to be. So just as we go in, I'm going to pray one more time and ask God. Because the right way, when you're healthy, the right way is, God, help me to see where I'm blind. If you're fighting back at all, if something's in your head, like, who's this guy telling me I'm blind? I'm not blind, you're blind. Like, you know, that's the wrong attitude. Humbleness is the way to go. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to get into a posture that is ready to receive you. And I know that we cannot do that on our own naturally. We need your help. Help us to come and see you, Heavenly Father. Just like Jesus did 2,000 years ago, help us to see, Heavenly Father. We ask you humbly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get into it. John chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the one. I'm the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man who had been blind and could now see, so they called his parents. They asked them, is this your son who, was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he is old enough. Ask him. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do, they asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man explained, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't see where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you would be guilty. Sorry, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. That's a lot. I just read the whole chapter. But I wanted to go through the whole story so you have the big picture, and then now we'll break it down because it's interesting. Some parts super sad, some parts amazing. The blind guy, obviously, ecstatic. He can not only see, but he got to meet the Messiah. Like, that's amazing. He's been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of years, and this guy gets to meet him. It's amazing. And so as we move in, I want you to think real quick about what vision is. What is seeing? The world is all around us, and the way that it's communicated to us is through light. Right? Light, if you break it down, has all the colors. It illuminates what, you know, if there is no light, you can't see anything. All the stuff is still there, but you just can't see it, right? But not only is there light, it has to go through your eyes, and your eyes pick it up. But not only that, that's like the easy part. Well, for some of us anyway. Then the second part is your brain taking that light and interpreting it. That's huge. So there's light all around us, and that helps us see, but then what your brain does with it is super important. You can take light in. I mean, you guys ever seen, you ever drive when it's hot, and it looks like a pond on the side, or maybe in the front of the road, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a lake in the freeway up there. We better watch out. And as you get closer, magically it disappears. Was the pond ever really there? No, but something was happening. And the way the light was happening, our brain said, there's water over there. Watch out, buddy. Better go to the right or left. Maybe you should go on Waze and hit that there's water. I don't know. Whatever. That's a very specific joke. Anyway. But there's light. And then what do you do? How do you interpret it? Same thing with what God is doing. There's a miracle. But how all the people interpret what has just happened greatly affects their eternity. The blind man receives and goes, yeah, I want to know who it is. It's you, I believe. And he bows down and worships him as his Lord and Savior. Other people are confused. Yeah, I see the miracle, but I don't even think that's him. That can't be him. And then some people just flat out refuse, even calling Jesus a sinner. This guy can't make mud on the Sabbath. That's a lot of work. He had to spit and then mix a little bit. Too much work. Ridiculous, that sinner. Right? Is that really that much work? And they missed. He put in his eyes and it healed him. Spit and dirt healed a blind guy that's been blind for decades. That's crazy, but they missed it. No. You did something on Sunday? No way. The day that we worship God, you're not supposed to. So point number one, get your eyes checked. Get your eyes checked. Like I said, many could see what the light was doing, but many will misinterpret what is real. Get your eyes checked. How you receive light is super important. Some of us are nearsighted, some of us farsighted, some of us colorblind. There's all kinds of issues with sight. Get your eyes checked. And obviously, I'm talking more spiritually than actual eyes. If you're having a problem seeing, then yeah, get your eyes checked. But why get your eyes checked spiritually? Because if you guys ever, this is what, to me, this is one of the coolest analogies of spiritually seeing. Does anybody remember from the late 80s and early 90s something called stereograms? Okay, they weren't called stereograms, but they were like patterns over and over again. Some of you guys are like, yes! Patterns over and over again. And if you just look at it, just like, looks like Picasso just did these weird patterns. But then you look into it, and then all of a sudden, if you misfocus your eyes, if you look deeper into the picture, things start popping out. And you're like, there's a building, or there's a dragon. And then the person next to you is like, oh, yeah, there's a dragon, okay. No, look. Okay, look. You gotta look into the picture. Okay, you gotta look deep past the pattern itself and look into the picture. And I'm telling you, I would get in fights. I swear to you, there's a dragon right here, man. There's a dragon. Okay, Mike. You're looking at me like I'm... There's a dragon right there. Same thing spiritually. Spiritually, stuff is happening in the world. And if you don't look deeper, God, what are you doing? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. But if you slow down and go, what is really happening? Okay, a guy that's been blind for decades since birth... Something happens with some mud and some spit. He goes and washes, and now he can see clearly what is happening. If you just look at surface, no, this guy is doing bad things on church day. They miss the Son of God right in front of them. But the blind guy, because he has a humble stance, he's coming in, I'm just grateful I can see, and you're telling me, yes. Yes, and he worships him. Jesus doesn't stop him. That's huge. Get your eyes checked. Let's get more into that. What does that mean? Let's read a little bit of 9 again. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? See, Jesus sees and interprets perfectly. He gets the light. He knows exactly what is happening because he's connected with the Father, right? So Jesus sees and interprets perfectly, but the disciples can't see. They can see what's happening. They see a blind guy, but they don't know how to interpret. So that's why they're asking Jesus, because they know he's awesome. And so he says... He goes on and he says, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. See, they were kind of, we got to check how farsighted we are. Because they could see what's directly in front of them. But they could not step back and see the big picture. They knew some parts of the Old Testament that a lot of times if there was something wrong with you is because something you did or your family did in the past. And so that's what they're thinking. But their farsightedness is a little bit blurry. It's kind of messed up. And so he goes, no, it wasn't because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. He can see it perfectly, right? This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. He's going to become a testament to who God is, about what I can do, about the power of Jesus. Like, God's going to use this guy. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. It's kind of a strange response to, hey, is this guy blind because of his sins or his parents' sins? So why is he saying this? Because Jesus is like, look, there's only so much time that I'm going to be here. And we got to do what God calls you to do, do it. How many times has God asked you to do something and it takes us a long time to come around to the idea of even starting, much less accomplishing what God wants to do? And so I'm just going to say to you, like, we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. A lot of us want to go deeper in our faith with God and we don't want to take step one. Let's go straight to step seven. You're not ready for step seven. I want to do what the pros do. Let's work on Little League. Let's work on T-ball. Let's just, I'm going to put it right here and you just got to swing and hit the ball. No, I think I can handle the pro league pitchers. Really? Really think you can handle the pro league pitchers? Let's work off that T for a second. We got to do what God calls us to do, and then he's going to give us next step. But check this out. And then he goes even a little bit weirder. Remember, they're just asking, why is this guy blind? Check this out. The night is coming. I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? And then no one can work. So he's like, the time's limited. We got to do it. And then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, the whole Old Testament talks about light is goodness, darkness is bad. Light is safety, darkness is dangerous. Light is good. I mean, it's just all over the place, from Genesis to Isaiah to all the way through. And so what Jesus is saying is, look, I am it. I am the light of the world. While I'm here, I'm the light of the world. Does that mean he's not the light of the world anymore because he went back up to God? No, he's still the light of the world. But now he speaks through us. We are more like moons now. You get it? He was the sun. We reflect him. How good of a moon are you? Are you that little tiny sliver? Barely gives any light. Are you a full moon? Right? The full moon, you ever go out in a full moon and it's like bright? You're like, dang, it's almost like daylight. It's not daylight, but it's almost like daylight. And again, does the moon give its own light? No, it's just the reflection of the sun, right? We got to be moons. Before we move on, Jesus, I'm the light of the world, and he illuminates the path. Like, a lot of times I think, yeah, you illuminate my path. Help me to see where I'm going. But one thing that Jesus hit me with last night was he's going to shed light on who you are and who others are as you interact with him. What do I mean by that? There's times in our life where God is doing something and it's going to shake you. And for some of us, it brings us to our knees and we get closer to God. And there's other times where fear or jealousy or pride or whatever it is comes out and it's ugly. And then a lot of us are somewhere in the middle, right? I remember saying to somebody one time, hey, I'm praying for you. And this person, why are you going to pray for me? And I was like, whoa, I didn't do that face. But in my head, I was doing that face. I was like, whoa. Because you're struggling and you just got mad at me for going to God for you. Whoa, you were tore up. Jesus will illuminate what's going on inside of you. Does that make sense? And we'll see that again in the stories with the people coming up. So point number one is get your eyes checked. Point number two, trust God more than your senses. Trust God more than what you can see, feel, hear, touch, taste, both physically and mentally. It says, then he spit on the ground. And I want you to close your eyes for a second, pretend like you're blind, and this guy's next to you, and you hear him starting to cough up a loogie or something, and you hear him spit, and then he's making mud. I don't know if you can hear that part or not. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to put some stuff in your eyes. I don't think he just hit him with it because he had to open his eyes. But He starts putting it on, and then he tells him, I need you to go a little bit farther away. Remember, this is a blind guy. He can't see yet. You guys can open your eyes. He can't see yet, and you're telling somebody that has a hard time moving around because he can't see to go away instead of just healing him right here. Why is that? There's different theories on why that is. One of them is that Jesus didn't want him to see him yet, so he sends him away. It's also some part of it is like to test his faith. Are you really going to follow my directions? Because it doesn't make sense that spit and mud is going to heal you. It doesn't make sense that if there really is power, why do I have to go to a different pool? It's called scent, by the way. But it's, are you going to do what Jesus said? Remember, carry out what God's calling you to do. The one who sent you, do it. And so this guy does it. He has enough belief to just go, okay, I'm going to do it. My senses would have been like, you're crazy. Did I just hear you spit and then mix it in mud and then put it on my eyes and you want me to go away and wash it away? That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. I know some doctors. I've asked them, hey, is there any validity to this method? No. Dirt and spit should not heal somebody. You can ask your own doctors if you want to. They'll be like, what are you talking about? Would you trust Jesus just to go and do it? Because again, he doesn't take you to step 7 if you're saying no to step 1. But this guy, he does all the steps, and guess what? He's rewarded. Get your eyes checked. Trust God more than your senses. Point number 3, seek God when you see the unexplainable. But the beggar kept, His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looked like him. They're witnessing something that they can't explain. And so what they start doing is they start talking about themselves. That's not the right move. The right move is, God, what are you doing? So when you see something that is unexplainable, seek God. Seek God, whether it's through prayer directly, whether it's you got to ask some people that may know more about God than you do, but seek God when you see the unexplainable. Don't start trying to figure out the unexplainable, right? Seek God when you see the unexplainable. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? So they're trying to figure out from him. And I love it. If I could do a class on giving your testimony, I think this guy would be my star. He doesn't explain more than he knows. He doesn't explain less than he knows. He just explains what happened to him. And he says, look, who healed you? What happened? He says, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. He's just testifying to what happened. He left out the spit part, though. I like that. Anyway. But look, that's what he did. And I went, and I can see now. It's me. But it's hard for them to believe, right? And think about it. It would be hard for you to believe as well, right? I don't know. It kind of looks like him, but I don't think so. I'm not sure. Seek God when you see the unexplainable. Like, it doesn't mention anybody stopping and praying. These people don't go to our church, because I would have raised my eyebrow like, did you pray about that? And a little inside real church joke. But anyway. Where is he now, they asked. So they want to meet the guy, which is, that's what I would do too. Like, well, so where is he? I don't know, he replied. It is kind of cool that they are seeking him. Get your eyes checked. Trust God more than your senses. Seek God when you're unexplained. And the next one's pretty similar. Seek God when you are puzzled. So it's not just one thing to see the unexplainable. I don't know how many out there have seen miracles. I've seen miracles. And it's sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm like, that is the power of God, amazing. And then sometimes I'm like puzzled at what's happening. and I don't understand what's happening. Right? A couple weeks ago, I told you guys a story about I was watching my son Josh at a track meet, and his event wasn't there yet. So I'm just sitting at the field, and all of a sudden, I see two words, my friend's name from high school, pop up. God, what are you doing? Why do I see? I literally see my friend's name pop up on the field. Like, what is happening? I was puzzled. So what did I do? I started talking to the people in the stands. They should know. Hey, do you guys see the two words on the field? No, I didn't do that. They'd be like, that man's crazy. Right? No, I said, God, what are you doing? And as the story goes, I text him. I said, hey, what's going on, man? I think God put you on my mind. And we start small talking. And I was like, oh, maybe it was just me being weird. I don't know. Later on in the conversation, he finally gets to a moment of honesty and says, hey, when you first texted me, I was in my car crying. I'm at the bottom, man. I don't know how you knew. I was like, it wasn't me. God told me. Like, I literally saw your name in the field. It was weird. When you're puzzled, seek God. Then they took the man who had been blind. They don't seek God. They take him to the Pharisees, which usually should have been a good idea, but they do not handle it well. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, oh, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. It's not a new story. It's what I've been saying. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Do you see the closed-mindedness of what's going on right here? And instead of just saying, oh, Pharisees, you guys never get it, I want you to start reflecting a little bit now and this coming week. What happens in your life that you just can't accept is from God? Some of us are struggling with some hard things. Some of us are dealing with issues that we don't want to deal with. And I think we're missing what God is doing sometimes. And so find out, where are we blind? This man is not from God. They were taking what they know of the law and applying it, and they miss. Wait, a guy got healed, and only God can do this kind of stuff. Others said, but how can an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinion among them. It's not recorded that anybody stops and prays and is like, what is going on? Let's look at the evidence. What's going on? Check your nearsightedness. They knew all about God, but they couldn't interpret what was happening right in front of them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about the man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. I'm just noticing, like, nobody can else do this, so I think he's a prophet. The sad part is they can't even hear what he's saying. Like, they're asking the person that it happened to, and they're not even accept what he says. And so point number five, after get your eyes checked, trust God when your senses, seek God when you see the unexplainable, seek God when you're puzzled. Number five is allow your soul to see. Allow your soul to see. They did not allow their soul because of stuff that they love about the world, stuff that they feared, stuff that whatever. They did not allow their soul to see. They couldn't get over this little point that, well, he healed someone on the Sabbath. You missed that he healed on the Sabbath. He didn't, like, go out and farm. He didn't go out and, like, you know, he healed somebody. Did that bring them closer to God? No, they said, this guy is a sinner. This guy is messed up. They did not allow their soul to see. And so I beg you, allow your soul to see. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man who had been blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. Like, whatever, man. Like, you're lying. What? They asked him, is this your son Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? That's a dumb thing to ask. Nobody born blind and is blind all their life just starts seeing, right? So why? What are the parents? How could the parents? Well, modern technology is what? There's no way they could have the answer. Now they answer with a little bit of fear, but his parents reply, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him." There was such a pressure against Jesus. These guys are hard-hearted that they warned anybody that says Jesus is the Messiah is going to be expelled. You're going to get kicked out. So they were literally against followers of Jesus now. And they were fearful. And so in some ways, they didn't even allow their soul to see what had happened. And this is their son. This is their son, probably the person they love the most on the planet. He is old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough, ask him." They wanted to wash their hands of it. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this." Yes, that is correct. They just couldn't see God right in front of them. Because we know, listen to those words, those are strong words. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. That's how hard their hearts are. Check your heart. How hard is your heart? What's the opposite of hard? Flexible, soft, moldable. How moldable are you? How flexible are you? How adaptable are you to what God is doing? Or when God says, do this, you, no. No. Don't say no to God. So what is the proper response when you see something amazing? Point number six, testify when you have seen God. Testify when you have seen God. When you've seen him directly or you've seen him do something amazing, testify. "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" Does the guy know, other than what he keeps saying over and over again? "Look, mud, wash it over there. I can see. That's all I know." How do you explain how miracles work? There's no other answer he can give him. He's just like, "Look." But I love it. I think Jesus picked this guy. I think God picked this guy because he's a little feisty. He's giving it back. He's like, "Look, I've been blind for like 50 years, whatever he is, 40 years, 30 years, whatever it is. I can see. So I don't care if you have a problem with it. I don't care. Like, I can see." And so he's taking on this guy that's probably begged all his life. This guy that is like the bottom of the bottom is taking on like the leaders of his community, right? He's going right to Mayor Rahm Emanuel. "Look, I don't know, man. All I know is I can see." He's taking on the aldermen. He's taking on the police. He's taking on everybody. He's like, "Look, this is what happened." They don't like that this little blind, former blind guy is talking back. "What did you do? How did he heal you?" "Look," the man explained, "I told you once. Didn't you listen? Like, are you having trouble hearing what I'm saying?" He's punking them now. You see the power in a real testimony? And I'm not saying, like, go out and punk people just to punk people. But I am saying there's people that don't believe in Jesus, and so they're going to, like, question everything you say. Stick to what you know. Why do you want to hear it again? You want to become the disciples too? Oh, that was a jab right there. You guys want to follow Jesus? It seems like you got a lot of questions. You want to know how he does it? Get your eyes checked. Trust God more than your senses. Seek God when you see the unexplainable. Seek God when you're puzzled. Allow your soul to see. Testify when you've seen God. He's just telling people, this is what happened. And this might be the most important one. Number seven is the last point. Stay humble so you can see. Stay humble so you can see. I'm going to say some harsh things. Prideful people will never see. Prideful people will never see. Prideful people can't worship correctly. Why? Because their posture before God is wrong. If you really think you're awesome, you're not going to be super grateful for what God has given you. If you think you earned it all, you can't thank God for giving it to you. Prideful people can't see, and prideful people, they can't worship. And so then this does not happen naturally. We don't just go, I'm going to be a humble person tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become the humblest person on the planet. I will be humbleness number one. You guys will see how humble I am. It's going to be awesome. It doesn't work. But it's a posture of, God, I'm a sinner. The blind guy got it, right? Who's going to inherit the hurt? The rich people or the poor? The powerful or the meek? Who's going to inherit the earth? Who does God give things to? The humble. So we have to realize we all have vision problems. Whether it's farsighted, nearsighted, you're colorblind, whatever it is, spiritually, we all have vision problems. But what do you do with it? Get low. Humble. The humble get to see. Real quick, if you don't know, Saul, who later becomes Paul and writes like most of the New Testament, Saul was struck blind. Couldn't see. So that Paul could follow and worship God. Does that make sense? Saul was prideful. He thought he was doing everything right, and he was a powerful, well-known, well-versed leader among leaders in that. He was zealous, and God made it so he couldn't see. Ask God, and that's the best thing that ever happened to him, ever. Ask God to show you where you're blind so that you can see. Application is seek and worship God. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. He thought back to what's happened today, and then the man who's talking to him now, if this is really the guy that made me able to see, and you're saying you're the Savior, like, I accept it, I receive it, I don't understand everything, but yeah, I'll follow you, and you are amazing, you are God, I worship you. Then Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind." He wants to help people see. "And to show those who think they see that they are blind." We got to stop thinking that we can see so clearly and just bow down before God. Some Pharisees who were standing by nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind?" Notice how they get defensive. That's the posture. The prideful will have a hard time seeing. The prideful will not be able to worship correctly. "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty." If you just admitted you were blind, I wouldn't be saying you're guilty. Jesus replied, "But you remain guilty because you claim to see." You remain guilty because you claim to see. Let's just stop claiming that we can see perfectly and just start admitting we're a little bit blind and we need God's help. But with God's help, we've been seeing some amazing stuff. Amen? Have we seen miracles in this church?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. Some of our kids could barely walk and now they're running around fast, too fast. Right? You're like, oh, maybe we could pull back on the miracle guy. Like, amazing stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff. I'm going to have the worship team come back up so that we can worship God. We know we've seen God in amazing ways. In our short little 5 years as a church, we've seen amazing, amazing things. marriages that were super falling apart, stronger than ever. Cancer. Right? So stop and worship God. Worship God. That's the response. Stand with us. Heavenly Father, you are good. Help us to see you. Jesus, you illuminate. You are light. But help us to not only see the light, but interpret it so we can know that you truly are God and you are who you said you were. We can't worship you on our own, Heavenly Father. We need to have our eyes opened by you. So God, I humbly beg for you to help me see and you help my people to see you so we can know you and love you and through that love others. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.